Welcome to AM Best Audio.
For the third consecutive year, global medical costs are projected to rise by double digits, with no signs of slowing, according to the WTW Global Medical Trends Survey. Insurers anticipate a 10.4% increase in medical expenses for 2025, matching the rate projected for this year. Regional variations persist, with U.S. costs expected to reach 10.2% and sharper increases forecasted in Asia Pacific, the Middle East, and Africa. These ongoing increases continue to challenge insurers, employers, and consumers alike. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that and other findings from the survey is Linda Pham, Global Health and Risk Leader, Integrated and Global Solutions at WTW. Linda, welcome. It's wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lori. I'm excited to be here.
Linda, what are the primary drivers of the projected double-digit increase in global medical costs for the third consecutive year?
Well, there's a number of factors that contribute to the high healthcare costs. First, it's just the rise in new medical technologies and new treatments. And that's really due to the demand to make healthcare cost efficient and sustainable without compromising on patient care. The second key factor is the reliance on private healthcare, as public healthcare systems all over the world have been overwhelmed. And the third key factor is just the overall increase in pharmaceuticals, with insurers expecting a 15% or higher increase in cost. But it's not just those costs that are driving those increases. Medical trend, as we've seen it even in the past 3 years and looking forward, will continue to stay with the impact of provider and employee behaviors. So insurers are reporting overuse or misuse of care due to practitioners recommending too many services. And on the other side, employees are using healthcare plans at even higher rates. And that's part of the culture of this consumer-driven health monitoring. So employees are more aware of their health. And so that's also going to lead to the increased use of healthcare.
When you look across the world, how do medical cost projections for 2025 differ across regions? And what factors are influencing these regional variations?
Well, we've seen healthcare rates increase overall. For Europe and Asia, we've seen a slight slowdown in the increase just for this next year. But however, we look to 3 years ahead, we actually do see that increase even being higher. In some of these markets in the U.S., which historically have been stable, we've seen increases due to the pharmacy costs as drugs being one of those key drivers. Typically, they're higher in the U.S. because of the majority of the new pharmaceuticals are developed in the U.S. And there's introduction of new drugs, such as the GLP-1s, that hadn't been historically been there. Similarly, in the Middle East, Africa, we see high pharmacy costs due to supply chain, regulatory systems, and inflation. It's a little bit different story in Europe, where costs have increased, but that's really because of the decline in the public healthcare systems. So there's different reasons that are driving that. In Asia, we see the aging workforce and the rise in respiratory infections, and that's driving the cost increases going forward.
How is the surge in healthcare utilization, particularly for mental health services, impacted overall medical cost trends?
It has had a significant increase. We see mental health as one of the top growing conditions or incidences that's driving healthcare costs in the next 18 months. And that's for a number of reasons. First, employers are including mental health in their healthcare coverages. So typical regions such as Asia historically had not had excluded mental health. They're now including that. And so that coupled with employees' usage of medical services or mental health services, I think contributing to that is just, you know, how the change in work has become due to post-pandemic, working from home, even the geopolitical conditions that's causing increased stress on our employees. And so then, you know, and then just the whole awareness of mental health conditions is driving the increased utilization. And all of that results in increased healthcare costs.
You mentioned public health care, the public health care system earlier. What role do public health care system limitations play in driving patients toward private medical providers? And how does this affect costs?
Yep, that's a really good question, especially in some of those regions like Europe, in Latin America, where there was a strong reliance on private healthcare systems, or sorry, public healthcare systems. We're seeing those public healthcare systems be overwhelmed. The systems are understaffed, they're under-resourced, there's long wait times, and there's poor quality of care. There's also an expectation, more so, for employers to take on the responsibility of providing care for their employees. All of those factors combined is then redirecting employees to the private healthcare system, which then, of course, increase utilization and cost to the healthcare costs.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Speaking of employees, what strategies can employers adopt to manage rising healthcare costs while ensuring their employees achieve positive health incomes? And how are you collaborating with your clients to address this challenge?
This is a recurring conversation that we have with all of our clients. It is top of mind because it's a realization that this issue is not going away. And so there's a number of ways to get ahead of it. First is through looking at the plan designs themselves and, you know, having employees take accountability in how they use those plans. One mechanism is through cost sharing, which is where employees participate in the cost of the healthcare plans themselves. So this looks different by regions. In Americas and Europe, they use deductibles, which means that employees pay a certain amount before they are able to access the healthcare the insurance programs. In Asia Pacific, it's more of a co-insurance where the employees will pay, let's say, 20% of the cost, and 80% of that is covered by the insurance plan. And then the Middle East and Africa, they have what we use co-pays, which, you know, they're paying a dollar amount of some sort before they access certain services. So redesigning the plans to add co-sharing is part of that. And the other piece is just really looking at the networks that employees are accessing, especially in the Middle East, where we have a lot of expensive providers. And so having accredited networks or use of preferred networks so that employees are going to the right providers that we know have been successful in not only mitigating the conditions, but that their services are reasonably priced. The other aspect of that is the cost and claims management. And one of those areas that we're working with clients on is really looking at predictive analytics and taking a risk management strategy approach so that we're looking at the health of the employee population themselves, working with carriers to get more data on what those claims, what's driving those claims, and being able to predict what the future costs would be and making sure we're taking targeted measures on that.
Linda, how are insurers and employers leveraging digital health solutions and vendor partnerships to control cost and enhance healthcare value?
Insurers are leveraging AI capabilities. They do believe this is one of those very important criteria, being able to improve the healthcare value. Historically, the healthcare industry has been slow to adopt, just because of the technologies used in hospitals have been a bit outdated. And so it will take time to integrate AI capabilities, but once it gets going, we can see a rapid acceleration of AI capabilities. And it's using these AI as a key driver to enhance the quality of healthcare, starting from the administration of health coverages. Right now, it's very manual. So using AI to automate that, but then all the way to engaging employees through communication, making sure employees understand what treatments they're getting, how it's working, and engaging them practices so that they themselves can take control of their healthcare management. Another area with partnership is carriers as well as employers are looking at standalone providers that specialize in certain areas of condition management. Examples is, you know, there's specialty fertility providers, well-being providers, telehealth, and, you know, adding that on as part of the coverage, but ensuring that these providers have the capabilities to integrate care with the primary provider. We see these models in, you know, even with providers, as an example in the UK, they've implemented guided care models. And this purpose of this is to minimize secondary care referrals. You know, once we've introduced telehealth and virtual appointments, what we've realized is that that's actually increased utilization because employees would go seek virtual care appointments, but then they would then go in person and get a secondary referral. And so part of this guided care model is to minimize that secondary care referrals and really be able to treat the employees through the telehealth appointments.
Looking ahead, what might we see in terms of healthcare cost in the coming years? And what long-term strategies can insurers and employers adopt to address the unsustainable trend of rising medical costs while meeting growing global healthcare demands?
So healthcare costs, we predict, will continue to stay high. And so what employers can do is at least mitigate the increase of that. And there's a number of different ways in which they can do that. First and foremost is just, you know, taking action on preventable and early detection. And that's through first awareness and education with the employees, which promotes healthier lifestyle choices, educating employees on lifestyle risk, having targeted engagement of programs. And part of that is, you know, being able to understand the data of your employee workforce and really what's driving those claim drivers and ensuring that employers are putting programs in place that tackle those. And so that's also making sure that employees are using preventable and early detection. The other piece of that is really looking at how employees utilize healthcare coverage in itself. Oftentimes, you're going to doctors and they're prescribing drugs to manage the condition on a long-term basis, but really getting at advanced treatments and covering those advanced treatments to treat the condition so that it doesn't turn into a chronic condition.
Linda, this has been so interesting and so informative, and I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and speak with us today.
Thank you so much for having us, and we're excited to share, you know, what we're seeing in the market with medical trend increases.
That was Linda Pham, Global Health and Risk Leader, Integrated and Global Solutions at WTW. And for AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.